Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am that you chose to be with me on this 19th day of January 2020. We're going to be looking at being true to ourselves and what that even means and why people have such great difficulty being true to themselves or whatever that means. We're going to look at it from maybe a more not cynical point of view, but maybe a more realistic point of view. I want to thank those of you who are our listeners who write and send in these wonderful questions. I am grateful that you're out there listening. I am humbled by the fact that you take the time to really write me and send me your questions. They're wonderful questions, and for the most part, every time I open up my email, I'm thrilled to see what's there. It just really is kind of you. And I want to thank my sponsors and those of you who helped us during our year-end drive to keep Aspire on the air. I want to thank you all for your kind support. It is only through your tax-deductible gifts that we are able to continue. And I am profoundly grateful at the fact that you care enough and can see what it is I'm offering to you that might be of great service to you. So again, I thank all of you for all sorts of reasons, and I am deeply humbled by the fact that I get to sit here in my little studio at, believe it or not, 3 a.m. in the morning and make these radio programs for you. Let's talk about being true. Why are we afraid to be authentic, to be true to ourselves? And what does it even mean to be true to oneself? So we're going to look at a lot of this in this little program. Of course, we're not going to cover the whole gamut of it, but we're going to take a good look at it. The first question comes from Harold. He lives in Texas. That's what he says. And he says, I am afraid to show the true me. There's nothing really wrong with me. I'm just afraid it won't be accepted. Why? Harold. Harold, basically people accept themselves or know themselves by what I call committee. Everybody has to run their ideas and their verbiage and their philosophies and their beliefs and the continuity of their genetic nature. They run it through other people to see if they're a norm or if they fit into a certain class of person, and that's where they exist in that class of person. Everybody has to, in this society, know their place, know who they belong to, why they belong there, and what it's all about for them. So when you start to think about being authentic or what you call true to yourself or being real with people, it's kind of a difficulty, isn't it? The great difficulty is, will this person accept me? It's like dogs sniffing out each other's genitals, you know, when you meet someone. The first thing that men ask is, you know, what do you do? What do you do to make money? And they're measuring their prowess in the mental realm, the physical realm, and in the social realm, in the business realm. They're just sniffing those genitals, trying to figure out where they fit with this guy. And now with women, it's all about the family. How many kids have you bore and brought into the world and that kind of thing? So this kind of stuff goes on and on and on because we're terribly, terribly insecure. Now, the real question to me, Harold, is why am I so, or you so insecure about being authentic or being yourself? What are you afraid that people will see that will, I don't know, turn them off? Or I don't know what you're afraid of. I really don't know. But if you're like most people, the reason you're turned off or afraid or shy about it all is because you don't have some kind of self-esteem that would allow you to be daring enough, ballsy enough to just be yourself. And you're afraid of maybe offending people. Now, I'm throwing darts here in the dark because I haven't talked to you, so I really don't know your personal thing, but I have a funny feeling, like most people, you're afraid that people will reject you. I don't think there is anything, and I could be wrong about this, but I don't think there's anything that frightens people more than rejection, social rejection, especially by people they want to think they belong to, a group of people that they think they need to belong to be legitimate or to be authentic or to be important. Everybody is looking to be important. The more important you are, it seems that the more you can say to yourself, I'm a valuable person to me. And if you let other people govern your value as a person, then you will lose your character, you will lose sincerity, you will lose the basic premise of what it means to be authentic. You will always be hiding in the shadows. Harold, I'm a black sheep, and in my profession, I am definitely a black sheep, and there are not a lot of my colleagues that care too much for me because they think I've strayed away from the farm, which I have, but not really. It all depends on how you look at it. If you are being, and I hope you can hear this, if you are being true to your heart, your authentic heart, not your emotional heart, but if you are true to your heart, then it really doesn't matter what anybody thinks of you. No matter what you may think, you know, about how other people think of you, if you are true to your heart and you are not trying to do harm to others, but rather do maybe something greater, you know, to serve humankind, then that is something that you can be very assured is a virtue inside of you. Don't be proud. Be virtuous. Do the things that bring about great virtue. Virtue is the spiritual acumen of love. It is how we build within ourselves the momentum of a tremendous love that lives within us. And if you have that tremendous love that lives within you and you are actually building it within yourself, and people don't like it because it makes you odd or you have a different point of view, maybe religiously, socially, politically, you don't need to tell everyone everything that you know. I don't tell everyone what I know. I do not seek adoration. I don't seek conversation even. You can't do that anymore. It's really just a matter of being true to your heart. And if you're true to the authentic heart, then you have nothing to be concerned about. There is nothing for you to think about as far as, am I a good person or whatever. Don't think of being a good person. That has to go out the side door. Think of being a virtuous person, a person of merit. Am I doing things in this world that are spiritually inclined to serve humankind? Am I willing to pay the price for that, which might be some social rejection? You know, I'm a chameleon. I really am. I have learned whatever social situation I'm in, I blend with it. I don't try to stand out from it. I blend with it as much as I possibly can, and I don't say the things that, I might be prone to inside. I wouldn't criticize someone for being hostile or crazy, you know, in public. I wouldn't say to them, why are you being so cruel? Why are you being so stupid? Or I don't do that. I do, you know, with my students, I work on them. That's my job. But when I'm outside, I am just Mr. Norm. And I'm not trying to change people or get their attention or anything like that. I like to, you know, move quietly in and through everything that I do in order to, so to speak, sustain my own inner balance. I don't see getting in conflict with people as being very helpful to them or myself. The virtue in that is I sustain the compassion to understand them. I help where I'm allowed, and I pull back where I'm not wanted. And that's just the way I live my life. I share that with you because if you're trying to show other people something about yourself that you think is a positive thing or a good thing, you're going to turn a lot of people off. It's never what you think it is. It's never as meaningful as you think it is to other people. It's never any of that. It is best to be an observer. And then when asked, when you have the chance to do something magnificent, you do it quietly, without assuming that everybody's going to notice or even caring if anybody notices. You just do your good. Do a great deal of good without ever knowing what you're doing. Just be kind, be forgiving, be compassionate, be merciful. If you live in those things quietly, you will assume the inner posture of someone who is achieving inside of themselves a sense of love. You will be growing, maturing. You will be doing many wonderful things, Harold, and they will change the way you live your life, I promise. So let not your heart be troubled. Just be authentic in any given situation. And one last little thing. Keep your opinions to yourself. No one wants to hear them, especially if those things that you say, which may be very opinionated, go against what their opinions are. Just a little social grace I'm sharing with you there, eh? Okay. Thanks, Harold. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Tim. Do not know where he lives. I'm very afraid I'm not who I think I am. Is there a way to find out who I am? Tim. Tim, in every moment of every day, you have the chance to awaken either to your authentic state of being or go beyond that and go into the mercy of a loving heart, or slide way back into the entity that most people live as and just live according to social custom standards, mores. You have all those choices. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? My mother would ask me that. Greg, I'd do something. She would say, who do you think you are? And I would pause and think. Now, she didn't mean that in a graceful way. In the 50s, you know, when you said something like that, it was to be insulting. But I took it as a quest. Who do I think I am? And am I what I think? I've often found myself doing things that I thought, which really didn't fit who I am. And I've often seen myself do the authentic within me and realize in my thinking that that didn't correlate with who I thought I was or is. It can be very confusing. We have many different selves in us, many different options. The best way to find out who you really are, in my estimation, is to sit quietly within yourself every day and absorb, watch, observe. Observe the quality of your thoughts. Observe the quality of your values, what you value as important in your life. Just watch, observe, and ask yourself, were these things that I am seeing within myself forced upon me by the way I was raised in my genetic nature and my DNA? Am I filled with fear? Am I filled with the anticipation of something bad happening to me? What am I filled with? Just observe and watch. Don't try to change anything and don't be ashamed of anything. Just sit and watch. What is it in me that makes all this possible? What am I all about? Now, if you sit with yourself quietly and you observe for quite a long time, it may take years, you start to realize the way the mind works, the way the thoughts work, the way the attitude works, the way you confront a thought, the way a thought confronts you, the quality of those thoughts that you have. Just watch. Make no judgment. Absolutely none. Just observe. Because if you make a judgment, then you've cast aspersions on yourself. Just sit and watch. Pretty soon, if you get good at this and you really practice it, you'll start to see that your thoughts are nebulous. They don't really matter. You can have all sorts of thoughts, none of which define anything except your genetics. We're genetic thinkers. We think from our heritage. We don't think from the state of consciousness, which has no thought at all and wouldn't be thinking at all. We don't come to any kind of insight about ourselves based on consciousness. Consciousness being that which establishes itself within us as the virtue of silence, the merit of forgiveness, the merit of loving kindness, real loving kindness. So if you really want to know who you are, don't assess it from who you think you are. Learn how to be non-judgmental with everything that is about you. You are none of the things you believe in. You're none of the things you can think. You are none of the things that you were told. You are none of the impulses that your body is constantly pounding you with, trying to get you to assess everything based on emotionality. You're just sitting there as a no-thingness. Just watch. As you watch, thoughts will come and go. Thoughts will come and go. And you will watch how they come, how they rise, how they fall. How they come, how they rise, how they fall. You just watch. You won't want to change them. You just want to observe them. The power of your observation is the key to everything. Now, if you do this little exercise, which is a form of meditation, you will start to realize you are not an entity. You are not the man that is sitting there with his thoughts going all over the place. You will start to realize you are something other than all of these things. And all of these things have something pertinent to help you with. Something to bring you to a sense of authenticity, to be authentic in every way, shape, and form. That authenticity is love. It isn't anything else, dear Tim. It is nothing but love itself. In this love, oh, there is a great compassion. There is a great mercy that you will feel. When we come to the place where we are no longer the object of our thoughts, and when our thoughts are no longer the object of our ideals, our beliefs, our theories, then you're in a position to discover the true sense of what you are. You say, I'm very afraid I'm not who I think I am. Well, you can take that in two ways. If you think you're far worse than what you think, that is something for you again to observe. That may be an opinion. I don't know. It's up to you. You might be far more, shall we say, cosmic than you think you are. And that might be something to watch and explore as well. So all these things come together to teach us the way, the truth, and the light within us. So there you are. It's all about whether or not you want to discover that which is from that which ain't. And if you get that, then you come to a wonderful place where your life is so beautiful, because every moment you are discovering more and more and more of that which is over that which ain't. I hope that helps you. Thank you, Tim, for your beautiful question. Please, please forgive me. Namaste. The last question. This comes from Ned, and he writes a very long email about who he thinks he is and what he's done and his accomplishments and all that. And then he writes, but who am I really? Ned, it is never a matter of who, as it is a matter of what I am, not basically who I am. I'm not a who. I am that. That, whatever that is. And that which I'm speaking of cannot be taught. It has to be caught. It is not something that is tangible in the logical, rational mind. It would never make sense to the authentic part of you. You would just be rolling around over and over again, trying to logify and theorize who and what you really are. And then you would miss the whole point of it all. And the idea of awakening is about going beyond what it is I can comprehend through my thinking. What if all of us and none of us are what we think we are? What if there is something more going on inside? Something of a more transformational experience. Something that lends itself to an evolution that the Greg, and in your case, the Ned, cannot understand, not appreciate, not comprehend. Well, if that were the case, most people would say, you're wasting your time. But I say, no, you're not. I say, explore that. Explore what you can't think. Explore what you can't reason. Explore beyond the confines of your genetic nature, your DNA. Go beyond that by just sitting there, as I said to Tim, watching, observing, making no assessment, no judgment, nothing, just watching and observing. You will find that your quotient for being intelligent will grow immensely. Instead of assessing things based on emotional prejudice and precepts, concepts, and preferences, you will start to live your life and start to recognize your life for what it is and not what you and I might assume it is. And it is in our assumptions of what we think that we fall to our ego. And in fact, that's how one of the more powerful ways we create an ego. Your life has to become valuable to you. And a lot of people don't have a life that is valuable to them because they're too busy living in the petty confinements of a genetic disposition that isn't serving them very well, isn't showing them the way, the truth, and the light that lives within them. Never be content with what your thoughts tell you about yourself. Never be content. Never come to some kind of conclusion, Ned, where you think to yourself, well, this is the best I'll ever be. This is the most I can ever think of myself, blah, blah, blah. Don't do that. Don't look for proof to convince yourself that you're this or that or not this or not that. Don't go into that. Go into the place of the secret where your heart exists as a place of love, not confinement, but love. Thank you for your beautiful question, Ned. I deeply appreciate it. I hope it helped. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there's our weekend. It was hopefully very helpful for you. I want to thank you for listening. I'll be back again next weekend. Please forgive me, won't you? Please. Namaste.